Best Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Good day to you and welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Murray. On today's show, South Africa's economy showed only slight movement at the start of the year, and President Ramaphosa has urged South African businesses to offer further opportunities to young people. The economist Waldo Krichel talks about the planned national dialogue and what needs to be discussed in terms of the country's economy. In international business news, U.S. President Donald Trump has signed an order doubling tariffs on steel and aluminium imports to 50%. Investment news, we look at the Boxer success story, how an investment of 186 million rand turned into 30 billion rand. And we'll check in with Chris Hutting from the Center for Risk Analysis to talk about, among others, the failure, success and future of the Government of National Unity.
A look now at local business news.
South Africa's economy showed only slight movement at the start of the year, growing by just 0.1% in the first quarter of this year. This follows a 0.4% rise in the final quarter of last year. The latest GDP data released by Statista yesterday reflects a sluggish start to the year, largely in line with what economists had expected. While sectors like agriculture, transport and finance posted gains, ongoing difficulties in mining and manufacturing continued to weigh on overall growth. The rand remains undervalued, trading near 18 to the dollar in the past 2 days. The rand's fair value, however, estimated closer to 16 rand to the dollar. Investec's chief economist, Annabel Bishop, told BusinessTech that the currency is unlikely to strengthen until South Africa's economic fundamentals improve. This is also evident from the GDP figures announced yesterday. South African manufacturing remains weak, and business confidence data due this week will be key. Political uncertainty surrounding the Government of National Unity also recently shook markets. And President Ramaphosa has urged South African businesses to offer further opportunities to young people involved in the Presidential Employment Stimulus Program. This week, 200,000 youths started work at 20,000 schools nationwide, gaining valuable experience in roles ranging from classroom support to maintenance and administration. Since its launch in 2020, the program has created over 2 million job opportunities and received over 45 billion rand in funding. Despite the end of the COVID-19 crisis, unemployment remains a major challenge, with the latest figures showing a national unemployment rate of 32.9% and youth unemployment at 46.1%. President Ramaphosa says the initiative equips young people with essential workplace skills. We now have the president of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Waldo Krichel, on the line with us. Waldo, what do you think should be discussed at the planned national dialogue in terms of the country's economy?
Most of us agree on what the challenges are that South Africa faces, namely unemployment, poverty and inequality. The solution is faster economic growth, but few of us agree on how to achieve it. On the one hand, there is the view that South Africa should adopt orthodox, outward-oriented, investor-friendly policies. The labor market should be made more flexible, government consumption spending should be cut, and public investment should be increased. This would boost investor confidence and investment. It would increase output, exports and employment, and eventually reduce income inequality. On the other hand, there's the argument that the interests of workers should be promoted through supply-side policies and redistribution. This would increase productivity, boost domestic demand, and ultimately also output. Then investment would increase, promoting economic growth and more job creation. In both cases, much depends on what you assume about how investors will respond to your policy. Will they appreciate strict fiscal policy, even if it comes with a recession? Will they favor expansionary policy if it comes with high public debt? These are the big questions that the national dialogue should address. Any grand plan rests on ideological assumptions and guesses about how investors think and how the labor market works. But the value add of the dialogue may lie in making the choices and opportunity costs clearer.
Thanks very much, Prof. Waldo Krichel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an economics associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Krichel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
U.S. President Donald Trump has signed an order doubling tariffs on steel and aluminium imports from 25% to 50%. The new duties take effect today and aim to boost the American steel industry. Trump says higher tariffs will make it harder for foreign producers to undercut the U.S. suppliers. However, critics warn that the move could harm global trade relations and increase costs for American manufacturers. The U.K. has been granted an exemption, keeping its tariff rate at 25% due to ongoing trade talks. The U.S. remains the world's largest steel importer after the European Union, sourcing most metal from countries like Canada, Brazil, and South Korea.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
Pick n Pay's 2002 acquisition of Boxer for 185.8 million rand has become one of South Africa's greatest investment success stories. Now valued at around 30 billion rand, Boxer was listed on the JSE in November last year and continues to trade strongly. The group has grown from 37 to 525 stores with the presence across rural and lower income markets. Boxer's latest turnover hit 42.3 billion rand, delivering 2.3 billion rand in profit. The listing raised 8.5 billion rand for Pick n Pay, which still holds a 65.5% stake in Boxer. Boxer launched 48 new stores over the last year, with plans to launch another 25 superstores and 35 liquor stores over the next year. Before we say goodbye, we're joined today by the head of policy analysis at the Center for Risk Analysis, Chris Hutton. Chris, thanks for joining us. A year after the national election and the formation of the Government of National Unity, economic growth and unemployment remain unchanged. Do you think the GNU can still achieve President Ramaphosa's 3% growth target?
In light of the lackluster economic growth performance in the first quarter of this year and likely second quarter numbers out later this week indicating that the economy again has not really grown much, if at all, it is unlikely that the GNU and South Africa will reach the growth target of 3% set by President Ramaphosa earlier this year. So that then indicates that South African growth continues to lag lower than population growth, which indicates that South Africans are becoming poorer and poorer over time.
Why are the three large Gauteng metros, Johannesburg, Tshwane and Ekurhuleni, especially important to South Africa's GDP?
The Gauteng province, which houses the three metros, Johannesburg, Tshwane and Ekurhuleni, is responsible for around 30% of South Africa's GDP. So if the Gauteng province and those metros don't perform, it drags down economic activity for the country as a whole. It is vital that those metros perform well, that they provide services to citizens and to businesses that operate in those metros and in the broader province of Gauteng.
Can President Donald Trump really use tariffs to curb US debt and reset trade ties with allies and rivals?
Over the course of last week, we saw a few impediments to President Trump trying to use tariffs as one of his trade and investment agendas. Between the US and other countries, there was a court case which effectively paused, a court decision which paused some of those tariffs that the president and his administration had imposed earlier in the year. But then another court paused the earlier judgment for review. So there is increased uncertainty at this moment. But overall, it means possibly that the president might need to pursue getting his tariff agenda passed through Congress instead of through executive orders. That might mean it then takes longer for him to pursue at least some of these plans.
And that was Chris Hutton from the Center for Risk Analysis. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on BizScoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizScoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.